I like a podium. The podium reminds me that I need something to hold on to. It reminds me that no matter how well you have prepared, how much you have prayed about, you still need to refer to your notes, look at it now and then. And it also reminds me that I am dependent. I am dependent on the Lord. And continuing on with what Pastor Kim had to say, we can do nothing apart from Him. What we are is because of Him. I bring greetings from India, and as I usually like to say, 1.3 billion people greet you. It's a joy to serve the Lord in our nation in these days. We are going through a very challenging situation. And what I have thought about sharing this day has a lot to do with what the Lord has been dealing with me, talking to me in these past few months. For the past 3 years, persecution in India increased, and it is increasing. Now, every day new legislations, new restrictions, and the news of new attacks against Christians and churches are being reported almost every day. And there are people talking about wiping out Christianity from the face of India, even to the extent that our recently elected and appointed president of the nation, he went to the extent of saying, before he had become the president, where he said that Christians do not have any room in the land of India. So almost every day we hear scary news, threatening news, news that does not, that have nothing to cheer us up. How many churches were attacked? How many people were killed? How many home groups were closed down? This is what we hear every day. And a couple of months ago, contemplating on this and also doing certain things that the Lord had asked us to do, raising a prayer hedge around our nation, which we started last year, even before this whole thing had started, the Lord had very clearly impressed on my heart that the need of the hour, the need of the day was to raise up a prayer hedge around the whole nation of India. And beginning from the 8th of December 2015, we, along with a group of people, involved as intercessors, people, those who believe in the power of prayer, we have traveled around the nation to the cities, to the strongholds of the devil, some of the Hindu strongholds, praying, interceding, and lifting the nation up before the Lord. And as we listened to Him, the Lord spoke to us. He gave us promises, and also He really talked to us about changing our focus from concentrating on the adversary, the enemy, and focusing on the Lord. When you go through situations like what we are facing in our nation today, a conversation, a 15-20 minutes conversation can be centered around all that goes on. All the threats, all the problems, all the challenges, how difficult it is, how hard it is. But then, I have discovered that by dwelling on that does not help me, nor it helps the one who listened to it. But on the other hand, the Lord is impressing on us that we should be, rather than looking on the adversaries and adversities, it's time for us to look at the open doors. So, in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, there is a verse like this, verse 9, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, he said, before this verse, he had, you know, the church in Corinth having a lot of problems, internal, external, you name it, they had it, that church, who had all kinds of stuff in that church. But towards the end of that letter, as he come to conclude, in chapter 11, he said about that beautiful verse we see, he said, But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter what we go through, no matter what is there, the disheartening issues, the good news is that there is victory in Jesus. And then he also admonishes the people, therefore, you, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So focusing our attention from the problems to the Lord will help us to persist on, to continue on, to be steadfast, to be immovable. And now, coming to chapter 16, verse 9, Paul says, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. I was reading from New King James Version. Paul says, great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. See, if you asked me a couple of months ago about India, I would have been saying the other way around. I would have said, there are so many adversaries. That would be the first thing I would talk about. I speak more about the adversaries, the problems, the obstacles, the hindrances, and how hard it is. And then, towards the end, I'll say, yet there are opportunities. But here, the Lord has been impressing on me to change my focus. Rather than focusing on the adversaries, change your focus on to the opportunities. A great and effective door, or the adversaries. What am I focusing on? See, I consider myself as a person who is committed to position myself to impact a generation to transform the world. That's what I believe about the land of India. The news that we hear every day from there might be that the churches will be closed, wiped out, Christianity won't be there, but we are trusting the Lord to believe that something great is going to happen. And the promises of the Lord are there. And I would like to say like this. In the midst of our opportunities, you and I as Christians, servants of the Lord, pastors, Christians, believers, we have tremendous opportunities. We are blessed with opportunities, open doors to serve the Lord. And in the midst of my opportunities, there definitely would be adversaries. There are. And Satan is there trying to steal the seed that is being planted in the hearts of those who would be a threat to him. That's what he would like to do. That's what is happening there. Threatening the church, threatening the new people, the believers, those who come to the Lord. So, what shall I do? His method is to place an adversary or adversaries in front of me, in front of you, and that could be anyone. An adversary that we will start glorifying the enemy, the adversary, the obstacle, and will not see the open doors. If we start glorifying our problems, talk more about the problems, we see less of the opportunities that God is giving us. So what shall we do? I would say, do not focus on the adversary, focus on the opportunity. Not on the enemy, but on the reward. Do not focus on the enemies. Do not keep our eyes fixed on the problems that could happen, what would happen if this would happen, if they did that, what would happen, but rather focus on what I could accomplish if I went through those open doors. And I will also say this, do not focus on the fight, but how to fight the fight. Not just focusing on the fight, but how to fight the fight. I must confess this. There was a time in the past few months, as the situations are in our country, when they gauged the churches, our brothers and sisters were being targeted, persecuted in many places. I think we spoke so much about all those things, forgetting that at the same time, in the midst of those challenges, there were amazing opportunities. And by speaking about dwelling on the problems, I also knew that many were discouraged. What would happen? People, those who were timid, those who did not experience the same grace as, you know, some others would have. There were some who left their faith saying, if we have to go through all these things, it may not be worth doing it. So now, I have really drawn a major encouragement from the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'd like to just look with you a few things about our friend David there. I like David very much. David, a man after God's own heart. Chapter 17 is the story of David and Goliath. Look at that story, and this is what we find as he goes to the battlefield, obeying his father, taking food and supplies for his brothers. And when he reaches there, I mean, this is the story which all of us know, so let me not dwell on the whole story, but just pick up a few things from that chapter, which has been a challenge to myself. As he goes, all the people of Israel who are fighting men, those who have come to fight against the Philistines, they have been hearing the challenges of Goliath day after day, and it has become a routine in their life that every time they hear, they run away. They are there to fight the battle, but nobody is fighting. They are all there listening to the challenge. It's a routine. Every day you hear the challenge and then you run away. You come back again to hear the challenge, you run away. Come back again, hear the challenge and run away. That's the time when David reaches there. And when he reaches, it's beginning from verses 20 of chapter 17. So David arose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. Look at the word. They were going to fight, but there was no fight for many days. It was only hearing the challenges and running away. No fight at all, but they were still, you know, they said they were going to fight. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in the battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. Now this is something that Goliath had been doing for many days. Now what happened? As he heard this challenging, ridiculing word, I believe this way, that the Spirit of God which was upon him stirred him not just to hear it and run with the others, but to do something. We are men and women who are called to stand up for God and take action. Just because many others or all others are running away, that does not give us an excuse to run. But it should challenge us, motivate us, and it should encourage us to stay even when others leave and run away. So as they are continuing their routine stuff, I really like that passage, that story there, where he is asking questions. You know, it's really interesting, what he is talking about. And I believe that one must guard who you are speaking your vision to. You know, when we speak our vision, you know, who are we sharing our vision to? I make it a point that when I speak about what the Lord is inspiring me to do, especially in our ministry in the land of India, in the present scenario, there are times when you say something and there is somebody who is sitting along with you, maybe one of the leaders, maybe one of the church members, who would say, oh no, it cannot happen. No, that's not possible. You cannot do that. You know, this is the restriction. This is what they are doing, so we cannot do it. We have to be careful as to whom we are sharing our vision to. What you do not want to hear in the middle of the battle is, or as you prepare yourself for battle, is that it cannot be done. We don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear when you go into battle that, no, it cannot be done. You have to share your vision with people who can inspire you, challenge you. That's why I always believe in having people, those who can speak into my life. You know, I've said about that in one of my previous visits here, where I said having a group of mentors, people who can talk in your life, who can say, okay, in the name of the Lord, I charge you to go on, move on, do something for the Lord. So he goes and he talks to people. Now, I don't want to hear discouraging things. Yes, Goliath was big. He was huge. All what they said was true. That man was so frightening. But the interesting thing is, while all those who talked with David talked about David, he never said anything about him. It's very interesting. He never said anything about him. You know what they're saying? Verse 25 says, have you seen this man? That's what the people who are in the rank is talking about. Have you seen this man? Do you know this new law is passed? Do you know that this cannot be done? Have you seen this man? Verse 28, his brothers are speaking now. They are saying, they have three questions. Why did you come down? None of your business. Why did you come down? You should not be doing this. Question number two, with whom have you left those few sheep? Question number three, I know your pride, or statement. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. When you prepare for battle, when you prepare to take the challenge, that's not what you want to hear. I don't want to hear how fierce the enemy is. I don't want to hear what the enemy can do. I don't want to fear about all the ammunition that is in his custody or that he can use, what his training is. I want to hear voices that will encourage me in my battle against or against such. I want to hear things that will spur me to stand up for God, to do something for God, and spur me to move ahead. Do you see this man? Do you see this man? You know what David said? I'm not hearing it. I didn't hear what you said. I'm not listening to what you are saying. I know what God is asking me to do. I'm not listening to what you are saying. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if we start hearing things that will demoralize us, that will glorify the enemy, that will exalt the enemy, what Satan can do, what the devil can do, what the world can do, we have to sometimes say, I'm not listening to it. I'm not hearing that. I know why God has brought me here. I know the hand of the Lord is upon me. I know He has anointed me and He has called me with a purpose. He has called me to do something. I have come that I may remove that shame that Israel is going through these days. Look at what Saul said. Saul said, that's the next one, verse 33. Saul says, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are just a boy. You are just a youth. You cannot do anything. All what he heard from people there were things that would actually force him to pack up his stuff and leave. That's what somebody told me recently. A few weeks ago, somebody came to me and said, are you planning to sell your house and go back to your state in Kerala? That's my hometown. Because it's very hot here. Not climate hot, but it's getting worse. You as Christians may not be able to do what you're doing. Would you like to go back? What do you say? I'm not listening to that. I'm not listening to you. I am hearing what the Lord is telling you to do. I know the Lord has called me for this purpose, that I will fight the battles for God. Acts chapter 12, we have Peter in the prison. Herod had already killed James, and he also caught Peter, put him in prison. And what he wanted to do, he already knew that what I did yesterday or last week has pleased people. They're happy that James is gone. And he wanted to lay hands on Peter. That's what the Bible says. He wanted to kill him too. His date was coming. He was coming. And perhaps as he is taken into prison, people are saying, the guards are saying, other prisoners are saying, now it's your turn. You're going to be killed. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, you're going to be killed. I would say, Peter said, I'm not listening. I'm not hearing that. I'm going to sleep. You talk about what would happen, but I'm going to sleep. How can you sleep, Peter? Peter will say, you know what? I know two things. Number one, I have a church praying for me. I have a church praying for me. They are together praying for my situation. They are praying for me. The church, you know, it says like this, Peter was put in prison, but the church was making intense prayers for him. Not just prayers. They were not saying prayers, they were praying. They were not just making prayers, they were praying. They were there with a purpose together saying, Lord, we want an answer. The answer is not a dead body. We are praying that Peter would come out. Peter, how can you sleep? I have a praying church. The church is praying for me. When I know God's people are lifting their hands for me, I know for sure He will do a miracle. These chains are nothing. The Lord will deliver me. And secondly, He would say, it's not just the prayers alone, but I also have a promise. The Lord has said something about me. He has told me that I will become old. He has told me that when you become old, somebody will fasten the belt for you and they will lead you. I'm not going to die now. Brothers and sisters, in our mission, in our, if you have to really take the opportunities and open the doors and go through them and glorify the name of the Lord, we have to have strong faith in God's word. We have to believe His word. God has said it, I believe it, and I really believe it's going to happen. Amen. God has said it, I believe it. So David now. David would say, yes, you are telling me, do you see this man? He is big. He will kill you. We cannot stand against him. And he would say, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't want to have a debate with you. You might be right in what you say because you have only seen the enemy. You have only seen the enemy and you are right in what you are saying, but I know whom I stand for. I know the one who has called me. Paul would say this way, I know whom I have believed. And I know he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know him. So I'm not looking at the enemy. I'm not looking at the enemy. Saul, you are talking about this man and you say that you are just a boy, you cannot fight against him. But I know I have the Holy Spirit on me. I know what I did when the lion and when the bear came. And I know it was not my strength. It was his strength. You know, I like this way. Everybody talked about Goliath. And David went and said, what will be given to the man who kills this man and removes the shame from Israel? If we are not walking in faith, we will speak about the enemy. When we walk in by faith, seeing God, we will start speaking about the reward. The others in the army talked about how big he was, how furious he was, how equipped he was, and what you did not have. That's David. What you do not have. How you cannot fight with him. But you know what David is asking? He says, tell me more about the king's daughter. Tell me more about the king's daughter. Because he already said that he who kills this man and removes the shame, the king will marry his daughter to him. His family will be exempt from taxes. Tell me which taxes I will be exempt from. Tell me more about the daughter. Tell me how beautiful she is. Tell me what that person is. No, I'm not dwelling on the bigness of the enemy. I'm going to look under the reward. Speak about the reward. Speak about what God has for me. And that's what he did. And he would say, you talk about the enemy, but I have seen what is beyond the enemy. I have seen what is beyond the enemy. Yes, big he is, but he is also easy to fall. Let me tell you something. These are a couple of promises which God gave me a few months ago while we were continuing in our prayer journey and also praying and preparing, positioning ourselves in India for the situation that we were going through. Isaiah chapter 16. You know the promise that I always used to read. Isaiah 60, I had memorized verse 1 and 2. I knew about that. I spoke that verse many a times. Isaiah 1 and 2 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." I'm sure you know that verse, because we have read it. We have memorized it. "And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." I only thought about verse 1 and 2 most of the time. Arise, your light has come. Arise, the Lord is shining on you. But as we were praying for the land of India in the midst of the challenges that we were going through, verse 3 very strongly came. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings of the brightness of your rising. In the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the persecution, increased restrictions and legislations meant to destroy the church, wipe out the church, the Lord was promising us, "If you arise and shine, stand for me, I am going to do this." He specifically, very powerfully spoke to us saying, "Alex, the ministry that we are doing in India, your time to run after these people is going to be over. You don't have to run after them. Gentiles will come seeing your light. Gentiles will come seeing your light." And this is exactly what is happening today. Restrictions are there. There is a limit to what you can do going out and doing for the gospel preaching. But people are seeing the light and they are coming. People are seeing and coming the light. But you know, had the promise. The Lord spoke to me this promise, but it was still difficult. You know, any conversation after 5 minutes already switched to the enemy, the powerful enemies. Isaiah chapter 7, there was another promise. This is for India, I know for sure, but at the same time I believe it's not just for India. I believe this is for all of us and for all our churches. Isaiah chapter 7, the promise was this. It begins with powerful kings coming against King Ahaz. And now, as we were praying about it, verses 4 onwards came to us very strong. "Take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking fire brands. For the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the sons of Remaliah," and then going on, you know, let me just interrupt here for something. Before this had happened, this one incident happened in my life. There were two powerful politicians in our nation. Two of them. This duo had become so powerful, they are so powerful, and both of them were spewing venom against the church. They were making statements each day which would kind of bring shivers into even strong men. They spoke about wiping out Christianity. They spoke about bringing restrictions against the churches. They spoke about putting people in prison. I mean, all sorts of stuff. And I had actually in a meeting where we were discussing some of the current issues in our nation, I had spoken so much about these two people. I must confess, there was times when I glorified Goliath more than I should have glorified the Lord. It was the same night, coming and reading the Word of God, the Lord gave me this word, "These two stubs," He said. "These two stubs." And you know what He says? Verse 7, "Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass." Verse 9, "The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." The Lord was giving me that promise. These two scrubs, you are glorifying them. You are talking about how big they are, what they can do, the power that they have. But I'm telling you, these are two scrubs. These are two scrubs. They cannot do anything. Believe in me. Trust in me. We have the promises of God. We have people, those who are praying for us. But yet, how many times in our lives do we still doubt and we speak with fear and we glorify the enemy? You know, David's greatness was in the adversary he chose. He did not come there looking for Goliath to fight. But when the opportunity came and when he saw him and when he knew what was happening, he rose to that position where he would say, what can this uncircumcised Philistine, who is he to defame the name of Christ? And David's greatness was in that. He said, I'm going to believe what God has told me to do. David's greatness was in the adversary he picked. He did not come looking for him, but he picked him when he saw him as an open door, an opportunity that God has brought before him. Because he says, this day God will hand me over to you, and all the earth shall know there is a living God. There is a living God in the land of Israel. But remember the challenge that he had made. He had said, you, a boy, you come to me with a sling and stones. I will do this. I will do that to you. I will give your body to the birds of the air. I'm going to kill you. And he cursed him with the name of all the gods and goddesses. It took a long time, I'm sure. If he was from India, 330 million gods and goddesses. Even if he took 50 names of those, it would have taken a long time. He cursed him in the name of all gods and goddesses. What would David say? He said, listen, you say what you want. I'm not going to debate with you. I know whom I stand for. I come in his name, and I know I have a clear strategy. I know what is going to happen, and I know what's going to happen after that. I know what will happen to you, and I know what will happen after that. Soldiers in the Israel army, his brothers and Saul himself talked, concentrated on the bigness of Goliath. But David inquired about the rewards, and he believed that he can do it because God was with him. Let us talk about the effective doors that God has opened for us, rather than talking about the enemy who is powerful. As we have come from different parts of this country and other parts of the world, brothers and sisters, I believe God is positioning us to become partners and partakers in a big harvest. I believe with all my heart. This has been in my heart for the past few years, and I believe it today with all my heart. India, and not just India alone, I believe the nations are going to experience an abundant harvest these days as we have never seen before. I believe it with all my heart. It's coming. It's there. It's going to be a harvest which we will not be able to contain if we still speak about the enemy, the difficulties, the challenges. But if we are able to believe God, I believe together we can become partners and partakers in a great harvest. So as we are here together, what shall we do? Let us look at that opportunities, the open doors, and decide and position ourselves that we do not want to leave any part of that great harvest in the waste. We want to contain the whole thing. We want to become partners in that great harvest. I believe it. I believe it is going to happen. You know, we have prayerfully declared that these few years, I say few years, because in our nation, towards the end of last year, our Prime Minister made a statement. He said, this is going to be my third year, completing my third year. All these 3 years, I did something for the government, for my party, but for the next 2 years, I'm going to do things. I'm going to do it my way. And the immediate decisions that he made were decisions that really shook the nation to the core. A number of things which was really so threatening. But we as a church, as a group of believers who believed, group of intercessors who believed in the power of prayer, we met together and we said, don't care what they are saying. Let the world say whatever they say. Let them say anything which will dishearten us. But together let us declare that these years are going to be years of harvest. Let's say that for America. Let's say that for Kenya. Let's say that for any other part that we represent today and say, in my nation, we are going to see, in our nations, we are going to see a mighty harvest. It will happen. A mighty harvest such as we have never seen before. Years of harvest. Bountiful harvest. Why? Because God has said it. God in His Word has said it. Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 and 11. The Lord says about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who humbled Himself and was exalted to the highest position. And the Word of God says, He highly exalted Him and given Him a name above all other names, that is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, few of us sitting here in this room, our knee shall bow. No. Every knee. Every knee, including the knee of Prime Minister Modi in our country. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe His promise. I believe the promise that God has given us. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just as the waters cover the sea. Can we believe it? Let's say together that there is a mighty harvest. I am positioning myself not to look at the problems, but to be part of this great harvest. So that should be something that we should be praying about these days. Not just my small church, not just my small ministry, not just my small organization, but let us look beyond that. Look beyond that and think about, dream about, plan about, talk about a mighty harvest in our nation. In our nation. How is it possible? I have one more thing to say. Years of harvest. And I also believe this is going to be years of walking together in unity. The time has come for the church of God to be together. We cannot be scattered here and there. We have to be united in purpose, we have to be united in vision, and we have to be united in what we do. Now I like that beautiful verses in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 30. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 7 and 8. Deuteronomy speaks about one of you shall chase 1,000 and two of you 10,000. But if you look at the Leviticus passage, five of you 500, it's for us to decide what we want. 1,000 is a big number. One chasing 1,000 is a big number. That's not small. That's big. One can chase 1,000. That's a big achievement. But two, chasing 10,000 is a miracle. It's time for us to position ourselves together for the glory of the Lord. For the name of our Lord. To harvest together, to walk together, to be in unity. And lastly, I also look at these years as years of prayer. I tell you, I believe in the power of prayer. I know for sure I stand here today because of prayers. 2 years ago, a doctor told me, you may not be able to travel anymore. He told me that you may not be able to drive as you used to do. But I know for sure there were many hands lifted up. I know for sure there were so much prayers were being raised. And the Lord in His mercy said, no, let them say what they say, but I'm saying something different. I'm saying something different. Brothers and sisters, this is time for us to pray together. We have to get out of our mindset of praying. You know what we, you know, think what we have thought about prayer, but we have to come to a place where we really wrestle in prayer. Paul would say, I have a friend in my team. You know, Paul would always say that way. If you ask him, he would say, the success of my ministry, the success of, or the key to how I could accomplish what I did, because I had some people on my team. I had a Timothy, I had an Epaphras. I mean, I know, you say the name differently maybe. I have an Epaphras, a man who wrestles in prayer. I have a man, Timothy with me, who is like-minded. There is nobody else like him. I have in my team an Aquila and a Priscilla. Oh, they would risk their lives for me. Together we are doing it, wrestling in prayer. Amen. The time has come for the church. The time has come for the ministries to change our whole concept of prayer. Prayer is not just getting something done that we would like to see, but seeing the kingdom of God upon this earth. So I believe the time has come for us for intentional, focused, prevailing, fervent, and persistent prayers. You know why? Because I believe God's word. God said in his word to Solomon like this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. Yeah, the verse is very old, but it still works. I remember a few months ago, a church member who keeps me in high esteem, they were just saying something, like to make a comment and joking. And so jokingly, this person said, you know what? You should preach something new. Because many a times you speak, you know, you repeat things because you have already said that, but you again say that. So what I said was, I asked her to give me a Bible. So I said, I will not preach from my Bible today. I'll preach from your Bible. Because when I open my Bible, I see things that I have already marked and all. But then, of course, as I preached, there were things which I said again the same thing. And what I said was this, at the end, as we were talking, we said, well, I would like to say new things, but what to do? The Bible has not changed. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, very old, but it's still there. And it is very true. What did he say? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then I shall hear from heaven. I shall hear from I will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands. Brothers and sisters, I believe our churches need healing. Our nations need healing. There's a lot of healing that has to be done in our land. And it's time for us to pray. United prayers. May we together look at the opportunities. Look at the open doors. And these days, trusting in God, take hold of that opportunity so that the name of Christ will be exalted. No matter what the enemy tells, we believe His word because it is He who said it and we believe it. We believe it. Let's not focus on the enemy. Let's focus on Him who is greater